Well, Pakistan released an Indian fighter jet pilot whose plane was shot down in a dogfight with Pakistani aircraft. Islamabad called his release a peace gesture in the wake of the biggest standoff between the two nuclear-armed neighbors in years. But fresh violence rages on in Kashmir, with seven people being killed in the Indian-administered part of the disputed territory. The latest violence indicates that the rise in tension sparked by the death of over 40 Indian soldiers in a suicide bombing last month is far from over, at least for the near future.
Tensions are running high between India and Pakistan following a deadly car bomb which killed dozens of Indian troops in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The disputed region, which has been at the heart of decades of hostility, is now feared to be the site of a major military confrontation between the neighbors. Amid this growing uncertainty, armed outfits fighting Indian rule over Kashmir are warning India against what they call committing atrocities in Kashmir. After 2010's mass uprising against Indian rule, Kashmir witnessed a surge in the number of youths taking up arms. Analysts say this is largely due to the absence of a political solution.
Actually, Kashmir is always ready for uprising because it has never pacified. It remains dormant because people have to survive. India perceives that they have pacified the passion for liberation, which is wrong. Kashmir is a dormant volcano which keeps on erupting on a slightest provocation.
The Indian Army guarding the rescue region has clearly warned Kashmiris of the consequences.
Anyone who has picked up gun in Kashmir will be eliminated unless he surrenders.
In fact, Indian troops have been in constant clashes with armed groups seeking Kashmir's independence or its merger with Pakistan. India has accused Pakistan of arming and training militants and allowing them to cross the rescue frontiers in an attempt to launch attacks. Pakistan strongly denies the allegation.
People here say India should recognize Kashmir issue as a political one before it can address it. Analysts believe there is an urgent need for the de-escalation of tensions and engaging in negotiations for a long-lasting solution. Shahana Bhatt, Press TV, Indian-controlled Kashmir.
Well, joining us tonight on Press TV's debate, we've got Director of Geopolitics Department of Manipal University, Madhav Nalapat, joining us from Manipal, India. Let's start off with the continued hostilities at this point. Amidst the hostilities, we know that Pakistan has called for talks with India. The recent return of the captured pilot to India was to be seen as a peace gesture. Will this gesture be enough?
Well, I'd like to point out that the problem India is facing is that you have Mohammed, you have organizations like Lashkar-e-Toiba, which is active not only in India, but in Europe as well. The Jaish-e-Mohammed is also active in other countries. And these are armed, trade, funded, and equipped by elements of the Pakistan Army. That is the root of the problem. Yeah, there are groups trained in Pakistan, funded in Pakistan, that are fighting the government in Kabul, in Afghanistan. Pakistan, that are fighting the government. So it's not just India. India, Pakistan is a problem, yes, but so is Afghanistan, Pakistan. So the problem is not really Kashmir. The problem is the Pakistan Army, which there are groups which are trained for action against different countries for some purposes or for the purposes of countries they wish to please.
Well, to complete our lineup for tonight's debate, we've also got political analyst Qamar Shima joining us from the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. Mr. Shima, welcome to the program. I'd like to get your take on the escalated tensions between India and Pakistan, and also if you have anything to add to what our guest in Manipal just stated, that the problem is not Kashmir, but in his words, the problem is the Pakistani army.
Well, I think I would say that till the time the disputed issues are not resolved, I think such kind of issues will keep on going on. So Pakistan only supports the Kashmir issue politically, diplomatically, and morally. There are no other ways Pakistan supports the Kashmir issue. But I think till the time India does not give the people of Kashmir right of self-determination, it does not bring justice to those people, and till the time India does not stop human rights violations. Even if you just say that in the last 12 months, more than 600 people have been killed in Indian-occupied Kashmir. And since 1990, more than 70,000 people have been killed in Kashmir. So this policy of repression, killing, using pellet guns, of defacing the Kashmiris, I think this is because of that the Kashmiris are uprising. And this is an indigenous movement going on in Kashmir, and Pakistan has nothing to do with it because Pakistan is not supporting. So the only thing that India has to do is they have to fight, they have to deal with these people with justice. Otherwise, there will be a civil war, and they have to face this. We don't have to face this.
Mr. Shima, is there a realistic possibility of further escalation? Maybe not an all-out war, but a conflict nevertheless.
Well, I think today Pakistan released the Indian pilot as a goodwill gesture. I think there must not be anything more than this. But definitely India has violated Pakistan's sovereignty. India has violated Pakistan's airspace. And I think Pakistan had the right of reprisal, which we did not use. The right of reprisal says that under UN Charter Article 2, Subsection 4, and under UN General Security Resolutions, Pakistan could have gone for attacking India in a limited scale, but we did not do this. All what matters is at the moment the behavior of the Indian government. And remember, after 6-7 weeks, there are general elections in India, and the Indians themselves are blaming Prime Minister Modi that he's escalating the situation just to get for the benefit of winning elections. And the opposition parties and even the wives of the former Air Force officers are claiming that political parties must not do this, win elections.
Mr. Shima, the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, has been urging peace, but we know how much power the Pakistani military wields in that country. How much is Imran Khan calling the shots, and how much is the army giving directions here?
Well, let me tell you, every country around the globe, they have a say in the national security issues. So is our military, which has say in the national security issues, like Iran, like India, like China, like America. This is a very normal input. But yes, Kashmir is a nuclear conflict, so definitely military has a stronger input. But if this gesture of peace has come, this gesture has come from the Pakistan's parliament. Imran Khan has been elected by the voters of the 17 million people. So Imran Khan is the chief executive of the country. But definitely, you cannot rule out the role of the military whenever there is a conflict.
All right. I believe we're once again joined by Mr. Madhav Nalapad, joining us from Manipal, India. Let's get to your take, sir, on the issues that we were just talking about. First of all, do you believe that there is a realistic possibility of further escalation, not an all-out war in this case, but maybe a deadly conflict between the two countries?
Well, I'd like to say that if there is another terror attack, then certainly there is a high likelihood that India will make a very strong response. The fact is that even after 26/11, the Bombay terror attack, even after the Kandahar hijacking, in which unfortunately the then government released Masood Azhar, who planned this particular strike in Pulwama, the Pakistanis have asked India for proof. Masood Azhar in Pakistan has openly said that he was responsible for the attack. I don't see what further proof they need. Look, people keep talking about Kashmir as the problem. Kashmir is the problem, and that Kashmir is a Muslim majority state, so it should not be in India. Allow me to point out that my mother was Muslim. Allow me to point out that India has 187 million Muslims, of which there are less than 4 million in Kashmir. The fact is that India is the second largest Muslim country in the world, and it's a country where all communities and religions live together. So to say that Kashmir should be separated because the Muslim majority is frankly absurd.
Mr. Shima, how can the recent tensions simmer down. What has to really happen to stop this from fanning any further? Imran Khan has proposed a joint investigation into the recent bombing in Kashmir that killed 40 Indian paramilitaries. Do you think that that can be a step in the right direction?
Well, let me tell you, since Imran Khan has taken office since July this year, since then Imran Khan has been offering India for the peace, but not a single time the Indian government has responded to that, because they have elections. And remember, the Prime Minister Modi comes from the Bharatiya Janata Party and from the RSS, so that is very powerful sentiments that they're promoting Hindu nationalism, and they're just fanning the flame of the elections. And remember, 7 hours later, there is election going on, and right now there is an escalation. And not Pakistan is saying, this is the Indians which are blaming Prime Minister Modi that he wants to win the election. So every time Pakistan is saying the message of peace is coming, even we dropped two, even we shot down two planes, we had the pilot of India, but we released the pilot in a goodwill gesture. We always wanted to show, or we always wanted to give a hand of peace. But what matters is that there is no domestic consensus in India for having a peace with Pakistan.
Mr. Nalapat, the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi has pledged a tough response to quote-unquote terror. Now, terror is what India has had the most issues with when it comes to Pakistan. Indian officials have time and again stated to have any advancement in talks over Kashmir, Pakistan has to stop harboring terrorist groups. What are your thoughts on those statements?
Well, I'd like to point out that the Congress Party, and in fact every other party in India, has supported Prime Minister Modi in his quote-unquote tough line on Pakistan. The reality is that the patience of the people of India has now vanished to zero, with giving one more chance to Pakistan. Secondly, about Imran Khan. Look, Imran Khan doesn't control the security services. He doesn't control the Kashmir policy of Pakistan. All that is the control of General Headquarters Rawalpindi, and I'm sure everybody in Pakistan also knows it. So there's no point talking to someone who, frankly, has no control over the army, or the security services, over the terror groups that are funded and armed by them. What's the point of talking to him? We may as well talk to any other member of the public in Pakistan.
Mr. Shima, this dispute has been going on all the way back since 1947. As a footnote here, why is Kashmir so important to these countries?
Well, I think this is not about Pakistan. I think all what we want is that Kashmiris to get the right of self-determination according to the UN resolutions, according to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, have time and again passed resolutions that India need to stop these human rights violations. Even the European Parliament has just said that they need to stop the human rights violations. It is not just Pakistan. The entire international community has been asking India to stop this, you know, using violence against these people who are demanding freedom. Now, the question remains that will India give them the right of self-determination as per the UN resolutions, or it will keep committing human rights violations? Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, European Union, United Nations, every organization is asking that India is using disproportionate violence to the pellets, those who are pelting stones at the Indian army, they are being fired at. So I think there is some domestic issue in India. Otherwise, the entire international community feels that the Kashmir issue must be resolved and the Kashmiris must get freedom.
And same question to you, Mr. Nalapat. Why is Kashmir so important to these two countries? And also, if you'd like to respond to what our guest in Islamabad just said as well.
Well, I'd like to say that about 540 princely states signed what's called the Instrument of Accession, which acceded to the Republic of India. That was formed in 1947. Pakistan declared itself a religious state, and may I point out that from about 35% of the population of Pakistan that were not Muslims, today that proportion is less than 2%. In contrast, in India, the minority population is nearly 200 million people, which is not a small number of people. So that's the difference between India and Pakistan. Just because the people are Muslim, it doesn't mean that they don't belong to India. They are as much Indian as anybody else. So, you know, we have a different idea and concept of India. So far as the Mr. Modi is concerned or the RSS is concerned, quite frankly, it was the RSS under Mr. Vajpayee who went to Lahore and who invited Musharraf to Agra despite what happened in Kargil, despite the terror attack. And India has gone several times and offered the hand of peace to the civilian government in Pakistan. But now it is realized the civilian government in Pakistan is of absolutely no use whatsoever. It's the military. And so far as the military is concerned, I don't believe the Pakistan military would like to, you know, give up what it believes is to punishing India for 1971. And in 1971, what happened? It was genocide against the Bengalis that caused them to revolt. And so far as Kashmir is concerned, I'd like to say, please, you know, come over to Kashmir, spend some time there, I'd like to point out, and tell me any other country that has not used helicopters, not used artillery, not used aircraft, not used heavy weapons against an open insurgency funded from outside. The Indian Army has not used any of these weapons, unlike the United States, unlike Pakistan, unlike Russia, unlike Israel, and almost every other country.
Amar Shima in Islamabad. Let's look at this from the perspective of the bigger picture as well. Is there a viable solution to the Kashmir issue, a long-term one, not just winding down tensions and waiting for the next incident to happen?
Well, I'd like to say that I don't think in India we should not start redrawing maps. There is a line of control, and that line of control in India, I mean, it can be made in effect the international boundary. So one third of Kashmir will still be in the hands of Pakistan. Okay, but still, there can be peace. Look at India and Bangladesh. For a long time, Bangladesh would not allow Indian electricity to come to Bangladesh. Bangladesh never allowed Indian buses and trucks, but we never allowed them because of that. Today, Indian buses and trucks freely go in and out of Bangladesh. Indian goods and electricity freely go into Bangladesh and vice versa. The whole situation has transformed in a few years between India and Bangladesh. Hopefully that will happen between India and Pakistan as well. When people in Pakistan realize for prosperity, you must have peace with India.
Thank you, Mr. Nalapad. Let's get to Mr. Shima's input as well. Mr. Shima, your thoughts, same question to you. Is there a viable solution, a long-term one, not just a short-term one, to the issue of Kashmir?
There is a long-term solution to the Kashmir issue if India decides to listen to the people of Kashmir. If India listens to them, if India gives them the right of having a fair and free elections. I think the Indians having 700,000 soldiers in Indian occupied Kashmir, that is not the right to give them freedom. India, you know, if you just look at the Khalistan movement, there are 26 other movements going on in India where they're demanding separation. The entire Red Corridor is in India. So I think these are the big words that we have secularism in India. The constitution is secular, but in practice, they just believe Hindu nationalism. They believe Hindu nationalism, and they support Hindu jingoism. Otherwise, what we want is that it is not that Kashmir should come to Pakistan, give Kashmiris just freedom and just let them to decide for their fate.
Okay.
And definitely they will decide for them. Why to have 700,000 soldiers to annoy, to kill, and to give him the...
All right, that's all the time we have for tonight. Allow me to thank my guest director of Geopolitics Department at Manipal University, Madhav Nalapat, joining us from Manipal, India, and also thanks to political analyst Qamar Shima, joining us from the Pakistani capital, Islamabad, and also special thanks to our viewers for staying with us. Join us again, same time, same place, tomorrow night for another edition of Press TV's A Debate. Good night for now.